We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for a great night tonight? I want to talk to you tonight, and we're going to pray. I want to talk to you tonight about the difference between following somebody who is a called leader versus somebody who's a self-appointed leader. And there's a big difference between the two. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's a subtle difference. Sometimes you wouldn't necessarily, unless you thought about it and looked for it, you couldn't even notice it. And then after we pray, I got some exciting announcements. Whenever there's a change happening, we try to make sure we make those happen at team nights. I want to welcome, by the way, I know we've already welcomed Wilson and Richmond and our downtown Richmond, and all of our online family tonight. So let's pray. Father, we thank you as we come around your word tonight. We thank you, Father. You are a good God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the chief shepherd. We thank you, Jesus. We follow after you. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you give to the body of Christ. You gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry till we grow into the fullness and maturity of the body of Christ. Father, I thank you tonight that you are the chief shepherd, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for gifts that you gave to the church, godly leaders that will lead us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give someone a high five. You can be seated. Good to see you. We were on a plane flying up and I got to Miami Airport and I forgot. I went, oh, I don't even know if I have a mask to get on a plane. How funny is that? But I found one, praise the Lord. And then we were down with Ed and Lisa Young. What a great couple they are. Man, we love the Youngs. We're forever connected to them. Our son married their daughter. And we had just some good laughs. I was looking forward to getting home. Flew in. I think we arrived at my house at least at 6:15. I'm fasting today, not out of spirituality. I just forgot to eat. Praise the Lord. I didn't even make it here for the pizza. So I'm telling you, after tonight, I'm going to go get some food. You ready for some cool announcements? All right. Just a couple of things happening. This is team night. These are some changes that are happening on our church staff. These are all related to Seaboard, I think, in Great Neck. And the first one is Janie is actually who works in our, well, she volunteers in our Seaboard Road campus, is coming on as our events director. Where are you, Janie? Can you stand up? There you are. Stand up, Janie. She and Devonte are our assistant youth directors in Seaboard Road. So now she's coming on team. Is that happening? When's that happening? Has she started yet? This week. You started this week. So welcome. We're so excited. And then I've got some other news. Speaking of Seaboard, Devonte, stand up. I'm announcing tonight that Devonte is going to be our Seaboard Road full-time youth pastor and Next Steps director at Seaboard Road. And I am so excited. Devonte has been working for Wave City Care part-time. He's actually been working for me part-time. And I tell you, I've watched him over the last couple of years. He's worked for me. And I got to tell you, he is absolutely phenomenal. A man of integrity, a self-disciplined, self-starter, self-motivated, integrity. Just I love Devonte and I love Janie. I love what God's doing in your life. Praise the Lord. I better be careful. I better not. I might be. Am I allowed? No. Am I allowed? Yep. It's public knowledge. All right. They're getting married. I was really nervous of pre-announcing something. So I'm looking at anyone over here to encourage me. Is it okay? Can I say this? Because Devonte came to me and said, listen, I want to ask Janie to marry me, but I want my pastor's advice. And I gave it to him weeks ago. What's that? Whose birthday? Devontae's birthday today. Man, it's just all going on for you, isn't it? And where's Brianna? Where's Brianna? You hear Brianna? There you are. Stand up, Brianna, so people know who you are. Brianna is coming on team to oversee all of our church events, lobby design, some database management. So welcome, Brianna, to the team. Exciting, exciting new additions to the team. It really is. Are you ready for this? You ready for the word? So I want to talk to you about, and we're going to get through them all, I promise you. Do I have my timer? Can we start my timer now? Because you can't start my timer while I'm doing announcements. That's just not fair. I need the time. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to talk to you tonight about some characteristics, listen to this, of genuine ministry gifts. Because I got to tell you, when you look around the body of Christ today, it actually we actually get disillusioned by sometimes people who aren't genuinely doing the work of the ministry with the right motives. Then we get hurt, we get broken, we get disillusioned. And I want to show you in Scripture some characteristics of genuine ministry gifts. People who are called by God versus people who appoint themselves. Are you ready for it? So let's go, and we're going to be all over the Bible tonight, but if you go to Luke chapter 10, and if you just be in that and have that open on your phone, on your iPad, or in your Bible, if you're old school, let's go there. And I like old school. It says, number one, Luke chapter 10, it says, now the Lord chose 72 men and he sent them. So here's the first characteristic of somebody who was called by God. Listen to it. They have a definite sense of calling and mission. They have a definite sense of calling and mission. Now the Lord chose 72, and what did he do? He sent them. There's a big difference between went and sent. And I got to tell you, in my years in the churches that I got saved in Penrith, I've seen people sent from that house to go on to do great things. And I've seen others who just up and left and went to do their own thing. And I remember in Hillsong, I've seen the same thing. And right here in Wave Church, nothing's new. It's the same story. There's a big difference between sent by leadership and people who just made their own choice and went. And the first characteristic of a genuine ministry gift is somebody who has a definite sense of calling and mission. Number two, write this one down. They will not be loners. And I actually like to maybe just add this, not only will they not be loners, but they also, and the thought there is simply this, it says, Jesus, it says, sent them in pairs. They're not loners. They don't do something by themselves. They will be accountable to someone. But not only is that true, but also they're not cliquey and exclusive. Sometimes in leadership, and sometimes people in ministry who are self-called, who've appointed themselves, are very cliquey. There's almost like this in-group. And if you're not in that group, you're not in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then that creates what I call FOMO. You know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out. And when people just appoint themselves and call themselves and they get in this little in-group, then all these other people kind of go, I feel like I'm not in. How do I get in? And that's not what you want to promote in the kingdom of God. We want genuine ministry leaders with genuine ministry gifts. And I want to encourage you, number three, write this down. They will be people of prayer. The Bible says in Luke 10, remember somebody to Luke 10, stay there. Verse 2, it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. They will be people of prayer. I got to tell you, there is not a Sunday in my life where I have not sought God and asked him for his favor and his blessing. There are people who say to me, Steve, you're such a great soul winner. You could preach on bananas and people will get saved. Can I tell you, I can never afford to believe that. I think it's a compliment. I think it's someone saying, you know, something kind. But I tell you, I have never believed that. I need God. And the longer I do it, the more I do it, the more I know, the more I need God. And we got to be people, if we're genuine, authentic leaders, can I tell you, you're a person of prayer. You're not relying on your charismatic gift. You're not relying on your personality. You are somebody who is dependent upon God. Can anybody say amen? Number four, I'm just looking at somebody who is actually called by God versus somebody who just kind of appoints themselves. They will have a heart to see others released into the ministry. They will have a heart to see others released into the ministry. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 12. Ask him to send out more workers into the fields. Ask him to send out more workers. In other words, they're not the only thing going on. It's not all about them. See me, notice me, want to get to know me. It's not celebrity Christianity. It is people who are saying, God, there's more work to be done. We need to raise up more leaders. Write this thought down. This is one of the best thoughts I've heard in a long time. Delegation is the visible form of compassion. Delegation is the visible form of compassion. When we are willing to release others and to delegate and to empower, it is a visible form of compassion for the harvest. I know too many people who think they are the only ones that have the truth. They are the ones, unless you come to, you know, here, you don't have the truth. And I got to tell you, I just want to say that if you're going to look for someone who's genuinely called of God, they have a heart to see others released into the ministry. Number five, they will be motivated by love and not by lordship. Listen to Jesus, what he said, Luke 10, verse 3. I am sending you out, watch this, as lambs amongst wolves. Love will be their hallmark. They will be prepared to lay down their life, their reputation, comfort for the benefit of others. We're just looking at somebody who's called by God versus somebody who's just appointed themselves. And they will be motivated by love and not by lordship. Not dominating it over people, not telling people what to do. I just caught wind of a conversation of somebody who was on our team. I just only heard about it today, but it was a conversation that was years ago. And I got to tell you, when somebody spoke to somebody in our church and said, just who do you think you are to tell this person and just lording it over somebody. I tell you, that is not. I mean, anybody can have a bad human day. Are you hearing me? But I got to tell you, we are motivated by love for people and we don't lord over people. Amen. We don't have rules. We actually have love and we lead people with love. Can anybody say amen? And so love will be their hallmark. Somebody who loves people. Can someone say amen? Amen. Number six, they will not be hirelings. I love this one. Luke 10 verse 4. Don't take any money with you. It says, you not take money with you. This is Jesus sending out the 70. These are people who were sent by Jesus, didn't went, they were sent. And Jesus said, don't take any money with you. Listen to this. Or even a traveling bag. In other words, they will not be spiritual prostitutes. They're not doing lap dances for people. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what am I trying to say here? I'm not trying to give you a visual of that. But have you ever seen sometimes maybe a leader will make promises and to say things and all they're doing is seducing people and that, you know, and it's not the way we lead people. We lead people with love and we don't lord it over them. And listen to the thought on this one is they won't be hirelings. They're not in it for the money. They're not in it for the popularity. They're not in it. Matter of fact, they're willing to lay down their life for the sheep. They're not trying to save themselves and promote themselves or even preserve themselves. They are actually saying, Lord, I'm here to love the sheep. One of my favorite stories that I love in the Bible is when David talked about he killed a lion and a bear. And the Bible says that he literally took and ripped, listen to this, a lamb out of the bear's mouth. Now you think about that. What a contrast that is to John 10, the hireling scripture, where it talks about the hired hand, the person who's paid to be a shepherd. It says, when the wolf comes, he sees the wolf coming and he scatters. And why? Because he doesn't want to get hurt. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't own the sheep. He's only there as long as he gets paid, as long as he gets the reputation, as long as he gets the accolade. But David, the Bible says, took a lamb out of a lion's mouth. Now, let's be honest. If the lamb is already in the lion's mouth, that lamb's dead. Are you hearing me? So why would you bother taking the lamb? Why would you risk your own life with getting that close to a lion that you would get that up front with a lion, that you would take the lamb out of the lion's mouth? Because he knew if he let that lion go, that lion would have a taste for another one. And he knew the only thing he had to do was make sure the lion didn't come back. Even though this lamb may have been lost, he will not return for another lamb. You see, can I tell you what I think we got to realize? People who are genuine people called by God are not hirelings. They're not just there for the good day. They're there for the tough days. They're not just there for the microphone. They're there to serve even when it's not noticed, in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay, they can't be bought or hired. They just can't be. I remember a business person said to me one time, and he was a very cynical business person. He goes, oh, you're just in this for the money. I said, well, if that's true, why aren't you in it? But nothing could be further from the truth. Can I tell you something? You know, I'm not in this for the money. And I tell you, I'll be really honest, there'd be a lot more money that I could actually have if I were in business. But I'm not in it for the money. God's called me to shepherd. And I believe with all of us, we got to be so careful that we don't just let that motivation change. We got to see to it, make sure to it, that we always think that God does not owe us anything. Can you say amen? The church owes me nothing. The church owes you nothing. And the moment you start thinking the church owes you, the moment you start thinking the church should, you know, can I tell you something? You've already gone down a road that is very dangerous. We owe God everything. Can anybody say amen? Amen. I love that scripture. It says we're to crucify your flesh. The thing about crucified flesh is it's dead flesh. All right? So if I've got dead flesh, and I do have some dead flesh, and so do you, any scar that you have in your body is flesh that has died. And that piece of flesh that has died, I've got some on my foot right here where I had foot surgery. They had to open up the side of my foot and put all this screws and metal and wire into my foot and rebuild my foot from a jet ski injury. It was self-inflicted, have no sympathy for me whatsoever. It was totally my stupid fault. I broke 5 bones and dislocated my metatarsal and had to rebuild my foot. But I promise you, if you get a needle and you stick it into the scar, I won't feel it because that flesh is dead. So when you get hurt in your body, it means your flesh is alive. You can feel it. So the Bible says we're to crucify our flesh. So if we're screaming, it just means that piece of your flesh hasn't died yet. And I believe a person who is a genuine called by God, ministry gifted, anointed leader is somebody who doesn't have the hireling mentality. Can you say amen? All right, number seven. Yes, thank you. They will be single-minded. Luke chapter 10, verse 4. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. In other words, they're single-minded. They won't be distracted. It says, and I think about this, relationally, they won't be distracted. And you know, sometimes as a pastor, I watch pastors get enamored with some people that I think to myself, who's influencing who? And I look and I think to myself, you are treading on dangerous ground. You've got to stay single-minded. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, perhaps his greatest regret in his life, think about this, Billy Graham, I think in my lifetime, perhaps if not the best soul winner, one of the best, I'd put him up there with Reinhard Bonnke, there'd be, and maybe Yonggi Cho in my lifetime, that I think about church leaders, soul winners, there'd be three people that I think, I've never met Billy Graham, I've never had the privilege of meeting him, but I've met Yonggi Cho and I've met Reinhard Bonnke. And I got to tell you, when I read his book, and this is what he said, his one regret is he allowed his friendship with, I don't know how many different presidents it was, I think it was four or five, he allowed his friendship with them to cause him to not be as confronting as he should have been as a man of God. That he found himself relationally just a little bit too unable to bring the word of the Lord into that person's life. And can I tell you something? Can I just say to us as leaders, let's make sure that we are single-minded in Jesus' name. Amen. Relationally, and I want to say it, socially. Just this week, I saw an Instagram of a pastor who was hanging out with some people and socially interacting, and it was one of the most inappropriate things I've seen in my Christian life. The sad thing is, when I looked at the likes of everybody, not one person said, this is wrong. And if you saw the picture and the social interaction that this person was posting, it was completely nothing short of sexually explicit and wrong. And can I just encourage us? Let's make sure we don't lose our true north. Let's make sure that we are relationally single-minded. We are socially single-minded. And can I say it? We are financially single-minded. I see it with pastors, and I'm talking about pastors tonight because I'm trying to get us to understand how to discern the body of Christ, how to know the authentic versus maybe some of the players and the posers. And one of the ways that I think is, I really think, can I talk about you for a minute, Mike? Years ago, I talked about people who feel called of God to really serve God, they've got to count the cost. Because I tell you something, if you are doing pastoral life for the money, you're in the wrong business. Can anybody say amen? Now, I don't think we should pay people poorly on purpose. Don't get me wrong. But I remember years and years ago, I said that. And just recently, we had the opportunity to talk to Mike about him coming on our Norfolk staff. And have we announced that? I don't think we have announced that. Good. I want to make sure that was something else we announced. Congratulate Mike, by the way. And I know that, you know, Mike has been working in the corporate world. I know he's, I don't know what he was earning, but I'm sure it was a really good salary. And I said, look, Mike, this is what we can afford to pay you. And I'll never forget what he said to me. This is just a few weeks ago. You know what he said to me? He goes, Steve, you taught me years ago to count the cost. He goes, I've been making sure that as long as I'm in the corporate world, I'm going to make as much money as I can so I can say yes to the day comes. And I got to tell you, I almost cried right there at the restaurant when I heard him say it. I went, oh, wow, you're one of them. That's an authentic leader. Can anybody say amen? And I just love that kind of mentality where we do count the cost. Come on, I think that's good leadership teaching. Number eight, they will be content. I love this one. Luke chapter 10. Oh, by the way, did I read that scripture? Luke 10 verse 4. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. They're single-minded. They're not just looking for the latest and greatest, okay? They will be content. Luke chapter 10 verses 5 and verse 8. Don't move around from home to home. Boy, that's a good thought. Eat and drink what you're given. In other words, don't complain about the condition you find yourself in. Be content. There's a bigger home. There's a better opportunity. Do you know what I'm saying? Here's Jesus going, come on, you just got to be content. Whatever the circumstance, wherever you find yourself, learn the secret, the Apostle Paul says, of being content. Some of my best stories in ministry, I remember one time, and this is years and years ago, this is when pastors used to stay in people's homes. And I do think it's good that we've actually sort of somewhat, the thought of being content is the thought. You with me here? But I remember I went to New Zealand and this pastor said, look, do you mind if I put you in my worship pastor's home to stay there? And I said, mate, I'm fine. I'll stay wherever. I'm just glad to be here. He said, well, listen, they're having some marriage problems. And I just think you being in the home will really help. Well, now I'm nervous. I don't want to stay in someone's home who's having marriage problems. What kind of marriage problems? And I'm staying in their home? And so I'll never forget. I got to tell you something. I just think the Lord was just making sure I learned the secret of being content. And so I remember they didn't actually have a bedroom for me. So they put this bed with this, I would call it a spring mattress, but I think the springs have sprung. And they stuck it in the hallway of the entrance of the house. There was nowhere to hang my bags, and the husband and wife were fighting, going at it, and she stormed out, and then the husband said, well, I guess I'm cooking dinner. And I said, okay. There was nowhere to get changed unless I went into the bathroom. There was nowhere to hang clothes. And so I'm thinking, well, this is different. And I'm not thinking, and then he cooks this meal and he eats it. And then I went out and I came back that night and he goes, here, Steve, here's your food. And he's all broken out. His skin's all blotchy. His face is all blotchy. He goes, I think I might have poisoned myself. And now he's serving me that food. So I actually did a Christian lie. Do you know what a Christian lie is? I said, I'm fasting. Well, I decided right then and there, I'm fasting. So maybe, I don't know if you call that a Christian. I don't know what you call that. I think that's called wisdom right there. And then, do you know what's so funny? Some other people on the team who came with me were staying in these McMansions. And they were saying, we got a hot tub in our room. And they're thinking, we can only imagine, Pastor Steve, what your room is like if we got given this room. And I honestly believe with all my heart, God was teaching me something. And God was testing me in that moment. Because I tell you something, I'm not in this, and neither should anybody, for the opportunities and the benefits that come from it. We owe him everything. We lay down our lives. We serve people. Can somebody say amen? I actually know today we have preachers who complain because there's no fresh flowers daily in their hotel room. I know preachers who say unless there's certain colored M&Ms in their room, they are unhappy with it. I know preachers who've checked out of hotel rooms because the hotel they were put in wasn't good enough. Can I tell you something? We ought never, ever, ever let ourselves get that serious that we just don't know how to be content, whatever the circumstance. Can anybody say amen? And if we start taking ourselves too seriously, we're going down a dangerous road. But here's some important characteristics as well. You ready for this one? They will be powerful. People who are called by God, who actually are anointed and appointed by God. Listen what Jesus said, Luke 10 verse 8, heal the sick. Listen, he said in verse 19, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Heal the sick and I've given you power over the enemy. In other words, people who are genuinely called by God are powerful leaders. They understand where their power comes from. It's not in their friendships. It's not in their social media followers. It's not in how many people like what they say. It's not even in the size of their church. It's not the size of your community group. Can anybody say amen? It's actually in whether people are getting healed and whether you are actually defeating the enemy. Somebody say amen. Number 10, I love this one. I love this one. Luke 10, verse 9. Remember I said stay in Luke 10? Are you still there? Look at verse 9. It says, tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. In other words, listen to this one. They will be preachers of the word. Listen to what I said. Preachers of the word. Not just social issue preachers. Not just trying to be a popular preacher. But they will be preachers of the word of God, and they will be uncompromising as to the word of God. Can anybody say amen? The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I want to tell you that if you want to make sure, you got to ask yourself, who am I following? And am I a leader that's worth following? You got to make sure you're following somebody who's going to preach the word of God. Amen. There's three kinds of truths that I believe we ought to have. And I'm talking to leaders tonight in all of our campuses. And I believe whenever we're going to be people who teach the word of God, preach the word of God, we've got to have a knowledge of religious truth. Anybody who's going to be on our staff and be a pastor on our staff, I will insist that they get biblical training. It is just absolutely essential. It's not even open for a conversation. You would not want a doctor working on you who didn't get his medical degree. You do not want somebody being a voice for God who does not know what God's word says. Amen. And I just got to say that, there's a knowledge of religious truth. We got to know our Bibles. We should be able to explain where dinosaurs came from. It's not hard. We ought to explain about the doctrine of man and sin. We ought to be able to give an account for that. We ought to say, this is why we need a Savior. We ought to be able to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament and what is in the Old Testament and what went from the old into the new and what stayed in the old, still the Word of God. I heard a guy today on Instagram saying, Christians, listen to me, don't tithe. It is not biblical. And he's going on for about 5 minutes. And I'm thinking, this guy's a fool. And he's given off all this wrong teaching. And he goes, there's nowhere in the New Testament does it say where to do that. I could quote you plenty of verses. Doesn't the law say the same thing? Paul referring to the tithe in the Old Testament into the New Testament. Don't muzzle the ox. Okay, Luke 23, verse 23, Jesus said, you Pharisees and scribes, you tithe and so you should, but you've neglected the weightier matters. So as leaders, we got to make sure that we know the Bible. Amen. I would hate to think that somebody who's struggling with finances went to a leader in Wave Church and they said, well, listen, I'm not tithing. And the leader said, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about that. I tell you something, I'm afraid not to tithe. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, I'm just so convinced and convicted it's in the Word of God. Amen? We got to have people who know what the true north is. Well, you know, we're just single and we've been dating and we're starting to now get to know each other better. And we're thinking one of these days we might marry. So we're starting to sleep together. We need leaders who know the Word of God and can bring the wisdom of the Word of God. Can anybody say amen? That aren't afraid to know that versus trying to just be popular and get people to like us. Okay, here's the second knowledge, and I'm talking about preachers of the word. You've got to know, have a knowledge of religious truth and how people relate to it. So you've heard me use this example many times. The Bible says God hates divorce. Well, that doesn't mean if you're divorced, God hates you. Are you hearing me? How many people come from a home of divorce? Can I see your hand? How many people? All right. Does that mean God hates you? Of course it doesn't. He hates what it did to you. The breakdown of family, having to choose, do I go with mom? Do I go with dad? He hates that the mother and the father made a commitment to each other and now that commitment is no longer there and it hates what it does. And by the way, God himself is a divorcee. He divorced Israel. So God doesn't hate himself. So we got to have a knowledge of the Bible, religious truth, and how people relate to it. And we got to make sure we don't actually hurt people with the Word of God. The church in the past used to beat up on homosexuals like that sin was a worse sin than adultery or fornication. It's all sin. Amen? I want to say this to you. I believe with all my heart, we got to be people who know the Word of God. We need to say, people say, I really don't think that people who didn't really ever really know Jesus would go to hell. Well, then if you think that, you're saying you think you know more than what God says. And you know different and better. No, that's why the church has got to do its job. Amen. So to me, it's knowledge of religious truth and then knowledge of religious truth and how people relate to it. And then finally, you've got to have a knowledge of religious truth, listen to this, and actual conditions that we're in. So we live in the 21st century. Are you hearing me? And so we got to have a knowledge of social life. But never, ever, I see some preachers who only actually have a knowledge of human life and its conditions around us, but they have no knowledge of religious truth. Are you hearing me? And they become people who are social issues preachers. And yet, because they don't know the Bible. Amen? So when you make sure you're asking yourself, am I a leader worth following? Can I encourage you? Make sure if you're leading a community group, if you're leading a department, this is team night, and make sure that the leader, people who are following you, that you are somebody that is actually called by God. And make sure you're following people who are called by God. Amen? Number 11, which is a follow-on from number 10, they will be uncompromising. Luke 10, verse 11, but if a town refuses to welcome you, then go into the streets, wipe the dust off your feet to show that we've abandoned you to your fate. That's Jesus talking. All right? You're not handling this. This is too much. All right, we'll wipe the dust of our feet. We'll move on. They will not compromise. Come on, somebody. Uncompromising. Number 12, I love this one. They will be joyful. Look at Luke 10, verse 17. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him. And listen to this. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. And listen to what Jesus said. Rejoice not that demons are subject to my name, but rejoice rather. So he's not saying rejoice not, like don't rejoice, but you're rejoicing in the wrong thing. Rejoice rather that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. A leader who is worth following is somebody who's marked with joy. That doesn't mean there aren't times when things are serious and things are, you know, important conversations that need to be had. But the underlying and overarching spirit of their life is something of a leader who is joyful. The Bible says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness, not with badness, not with sadness, not with madness, but we ought to do it joyfully. Amen. And I know life can get complicated and I know life can get intense, but I just want to encourage us. Let's make sure that we're joyful. Number 13, I love this one. They will be childlike. Luke 10, verse 21. Father, I thank you for hiding these things from those who think they are wise and clever. Watch this. And revealing them to be childlike. Not childish, but childlike. Amen. And one of the best childlike qualities, I believe, is their sense of dependency. Isn't that true? Their sense of dependency. And if we are people who are not childish, but childlike, we have a sense of dependency on God and on others. We're not the Lone Ranger. We need a team. Two are better than one. Amen. And I got to tell you, if it wasn't for the team that God has surrounded me with in Wave Church, I don't think I would have survived these last year and a half. And I mean that not in some negative way. I just mean, I don't think I would have made the best decisions. I think if I didn't listen to people around me and allow them to actually help frame the way I think and listen to them, there's a dependency on God, and the greatest asset God gives us is people. Amen? And so when God puts people in your life, you need to listen to those people. And I think I could have made some awful mistakes if I didn't listen to the people that God put in my life. There's a dependency. 1 Corinthians, look at it, it says, I love this. So where does this leave the philosophers and the scholars and the world's most brilliant leaders. God has made his wisdom, watch this, the wisdom of his word to look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. I love this one, 1 Corinthians 2. When I came to you first, I didn't come in lofty words or impressive wisdom. Listen to verse 3. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. My message and my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Don't you love that? In other words, he says, I demonstrated my childlike dependency to preach God's word. God chooses what? The foolishness of preaching. I didn't come, and I'm going to tell you, if anybody could have come with persuasive words, it would have been the Apostle Paul. His religious background, his training, his knowledge, his intellect, he could have waxed them clean. But Paul said, I don't want you just trusting in me. I'm going to preach the word of God, and God chooses the foolishness of preaching. I remember when God called me to be a preacher, I kept saying, God, I'm too insecure. I've got too much inferiority. And I remember just reading a verse in the Bible, and this is what changed it for me. It says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. He says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. When I read that, I went, God, I can do this. I can overcome my insecurity. I can overcome my inferiority because I do believe. Listen to this. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. You've given me a message of eternal life, and I'm not ashamed of your gospel, for it, not me, not my words, but the preaching, the foolishness of preaching is what you've chosen, and it is the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. Number 14, I'm done. Ready for this? I'll give you the last two real quick. Verse 20, they will be humble. Look at this one. Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't focus on what I do through you. Focus who I am in you. Don't focus that you got power to cast out demons, but rejoice rather that I am in you. It's not what I do through you, it's who I am in you. Listen to this thought. Don't draw self-worth from what you do, but who you are. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Did you hear it? Humility is not, listen to this, thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. By the way, I can't even tell you who quoted that. I wished I could, but it was a good quote. And number 15, in closing, they will be divinely protected. I love it. Listen to what it says. Nothing will injure you. I love that. Well, that's nice, isn't it, that Jesus said that? 10 of these disciples were martyred. Amen. Nothing will injure you except 10 of them died. So I want you to think about this for a minute. It's true, but nothing could stop them. Amen. Nothing can stop them from finishing their course. God would even use their death to influence others for God. Think about so many just different people. I know people. There's one particular guy who was martyred in the Philippines for his faith. And I know his wife, and she's still serving God today. I actually think she's doing more for God now than when even a husband was alive. Can I just encourage us? Let's be people who are genuine, authentic, not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect leader. Can anybody say amen? But let's have the wisdom to discern the body of Christ. Let's be people who are called by God, and not just people who are hirelings, not just doing it for the microphone, not just doing it for the opportunity, not just doing it, you know, for the wrong reasons, but let's be people who love God, love his people, and love this nation. Can you say amen? And I just want to encourage us. I believe with all my heart, this summer months, I was talking to Luke. Luke picked me up tonight. And I just encourage you, the community group leaders, I know it's a short semester, but would you lead those community groups well? Would you be a person of prayer? Would you study to show yourself approved? Would you bring the word of the Lord? Would you be uncompromising? Would you be loving? Amen. And let's make sure we give the people that God's called us to lead our very best. Let's not give them our leftovers. Let's not just give them, you know, that'll do. But let's be people who are really intentional. We spend time with God and we bring to the people that God's called us to lead our very best in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.